Hello and welcome back to another episode of the CreeperCast. I'm Jason, and with me always is Jeff. You know, they say in the land of the blind, the man with one eye is king. Well, in Jeff's land, he is king also. We just don't know what land that is.
That was only funny because you said in a land with a man with one eye, there's always somebody king, and Jeff is king in his own, in another land. So it's like the two weren't even related.
In my mind, they were.
Because I was ready for this. Oh yeah, you know, I was gonna make an Odin comment or something. You know, one-eyed god related, and then you went somewhere else that made absolutely no sense, which was perfect because that was a perfect Jason moment.
Thank you. So, hey, don't forget to get a hold of us. Give us a call at 503-454-6941. And you know what? Later on this in this episode, we do have a... it's a voicemail, sort of.
Yeah, I guess you would call it that. I mean, well, it is a mail.
Yeah, I mean,
it was audio.
Yeah, it was audio. It was left through our SpeakPipe account that you can go to the CreeperCast or go to creepercast.com. It's on the left-hand side. You can record even if you don't have want to call us. You can record from your computer, from your smartphone, whatever you can do to get to our website. You can record and give us feedback. Tell us why we're wrong. And this person did math.
Or something along that route. Yeah. We'll actually have to, you know, get our commentary in when we actually play it, unless you want to start off with it.
No, we'll do that later on, definitely. Okay. So, and then also, you know, you can give us a, send us an email at feedback@creepercast.com. Jeff, can you tell people a little bit about what's going on with you and Joel? Because you guys have been rocking with...
We have been very busy, haven't we? And this one, this shout out goes to Joel for all the help and the inspiration he's given me in order for us to continue a lot of things that's going on the website. You know, ever since we first started this, and, you know, I'm going to be honest with everybody, is that the main reason why I avoided it is because I'm one of those nice guys that didn't want to inundate everybody with my own fiction. But back in the days when we first started this, I always wanted to be able to post my own fiction on the website without it looking like I was just trying to be about, hey, I write stories. You should read them. And so I've avoided it for this whole 5 years.
Yeah, we've been together for 5 years.
Yeah. And but I've always been looking for trying to find a way in order to make it possible, in order to be able to not just get my fiction out there, but get other folks' fiction out there. And it was with the help of Joel that we actually came up with a game plan for this horror fiction situation that actually kicked off this month that you're now hearing this show. Of course, I kicked it off first with my story. Joel's got a story in there. And plus, we got a couple of other authors that are actually sending stuff in and really want their stuff to be seen on the website. So it looks like we're going to be more entertaining than we ever were before, because you'll be able to read these creepy stories that everybody keeps coming up with. And if you yourself are a writer, you need to visit creepercast.com. There's an article on the site about how you too can have your art stories posted. And to be even more honest with you, this is a chance for you to plug whatever you're writing. So if you're an author and you're writing something and you want your stories up there, and say you got a collection of stories out there, this is a way for you to get more people to look for those stories. And we're definitely all about shameless promotion, you know, on top of this. And I got to be honest with you, I do have an ulterior motive. I'm thinking anthology by next year.
I like it. You know, I'm going to throw one out there. Jeff doesn't know about this. I just came up with this right now while he was talking. In, let's give it a time frame. 6 months?
For an anthology?
No. Just a good time frame. 6 months. We'll go with six months.
6 months.
So let's see. It's April, May, June, July, August, September, October. October, Halloween. Okay. Mm-hmm. We will find, we have a lot of author friends. And they are really good friends and cast members. And I think we can talk at least one, if not a couple of them, into picking their favorite story that was published. Yeah. And we will send you an official CreeperCast cast member t-shirt.
Absolutely. Hey, that sounds like a plan to me. I mean, in fact, I'll even be fair about this. I'll take myself out of the running.
Yes. You and I hate to tell you, but based on all them things that they say really fast in commercials for TV for TV and radio contest, if you have a family member or you work at the station, you can't participate.
Oh, Joel, I'm sorry.
So you and Joel can't get it, but everybody else, get them submissions in. We will have some of
Get
our
that.
friends. I will contact DA as soon as we're done with this podcast.
Absolutely. He'd be a great person.
He'd be a great person. I'm sure there's some other ones in there. We can even have
He
our
might even I haven't even thought to ask him yet, but he might even have a story or two that's related to the Ragnarok series that he might want to put up.
Yeah. And, on top of that, we'll get our resident Captain Creeper involved and shoot him a message and have him, just kind of he's not able to join us, unfortunately, on the podcast when we record. But he is him and Patrick are doing some great things with the Real Man Reviews, and maybe we can get them to join in and review some of these and give us their thoughts.
Absolutely. That sounds great. And on top of that as well, I want to keep on, throw out more kudos for our friend Joel. He goes by Joel Happy K-Pants, by the way. But, under his his writing name is actually going to, I believe we're actually going to use his real name under his writing name because that only seems right. But anyway, Joel is helping me with reviews. We're getting a lot of independent reviews done now this way. He's giving me random reviews to stick out once a week. He's really, been really enjoying working with me, getting a bunch of stuff out there, and I'm definitely enjoying him. If you haven't checked out any of Joel's podcasts or anything, though, he's got a lot of them out there. But we'll start with the most important ones. He does one with our friend Killawilba. You may remember him as the Australian that used to hang out with us. They have a show called The Coffin Joe Cast, so definitely check that one
out. You
were
on that once or twice, weren't you?
I've been on it once, actually.
Yeah.
This was... Wow, it was about 4 or 5 months ago. But and they tried to get us both on it at one point, but we couldn't coordinate the date.
I know. Work schedules get in the way. So.
And basically what they do is they do random conversations about whatever on their minds, and they usually try to find people that are fellow podcasters so that they can discuss what got you into podcasting and then just talk about whatever crazy stuff that comes along. He's also got his show, what is it, 40 going on 14. He's got his music show. I mean, this guy, you can find all the links attached to any article that he's got on the website that'll take you to all these different things. This guy, I've asked him many times, where does he find time to do anything? His answer was that he has is prioritizing.
That I've tried that. It doesn't work.
Yeah, I've said that many times. I was just like, what?
I come to the conclusion he doesn't sleep and he runs on cocaine and his crystal meth flakes.
No, Joel, we're not saying you're a drug addict. Although you might admit it for all I know. But yeah, Joel's been a great guy.
He's
been
running on
out.
Crank and cocaine. No, he's a great guy. Great work. Definitely glad to have him as a part of the creeps here. And he is a part now. He's an official creep.
Definitely. And he actually asked me that the other day, and I've sent him his care package. So he has his Billowburst t-shirt, his bloody ear. I mean, he's really, really excited to be a part of everything and doing a great job. But enough about Joel. I mean, everybody knows how fantastic he is. If you don't, you haven't visited creepercast.com and read his reviews. He's really, really in-depth when he talks about his reviews. And there's tons of other stuff on the website that if you're not, visiting the website, you're missing out on things like my actual original review of the movie we're going to talk about today before you get to hear the interview with the writer-director that we're going to be doing.
Man, I am so hyped up for this month because we have our review today. We have two big interviews coming up this month. Can you tell us a little bit about that before we jump into the movie?
Absolutely. Well, the two big interviews we have up is we are going to be talking to Gavin Michael Booth, who's the writer and director of The Scare House that was filmed right across the river from
Jason. Pond for me. Yeah.
Right across the pond from Jason. Of course, when we talk to him, he will be in California, which is really kind of confusing when you think about it. But anyway, it was actually filmed in the real Scare House in Windsor, Ontario.
Yeah.
It's which is a huge yearly scare house that they do.
Haunted
haunted house that they do. And we're going to be talking to him about making the film and what they're going to be doing, you know, what they're going to be doing in the future. And then this one was a no-brainer, almost literally, because it involved zombies and zombies like brains, and nobody gets that joke but me. But anyway, this one in the long run was a no-brainer, but you heard us talk about how much we loved How to Kill a Zombie and the possibilities at sequels and what's happening with it. And we're going to be talking to Mr. Matt Stone himself. That's right, the star of the film. His wife directed and his son pretty much wrote. And who knows, we might even get Jesse Stone on the show too if he's, you know, hanging around. But we're going to be talking to Bill McLean, who's actually an actor extraordinaire there in Maine. And he's got some major announcements for us too, from what I understand.
It'll be awesome because as we're setting everything up, you know, he's working on some other projects right now. He's got some things in the works. And, you know, I get my chance to talk to him and see if he'll let me have a nice cameo
as the Boy Scout survivalist.
As the Boy Scout survivalist on his next one. I guess it's probably, we can't call it Boy Scout. Maybe call it like, you know, something else, like, you know, Beaver Scout or something.
Eagle Scout.
Well, use Eagle Scout. That's owned by the Boy Scout.
I gotcha.
Like Beaver Scout or Deer Scout or something.
Beaver Scout just implies way too many wrong things. Anyway.
When does a Cub Scout become a Boy Scout? When he eats his first brownie. Okay, tell us about the Scare House. Do you wanna start off with the synopsis or jump straight into the screener first, or not the screener?
I'm gonna start right off with quoting myself, because I like to quote myself, especially when you see it on the website. Is just a quick, you know, I like to do these quick little quotes before every review that I write on the website. And for this one, I write, "Girls are mean, and not necessarily in the Lindsay Lohan way. The Scare House is a torturous version of Mean Girls and nails it with huge spikes through the head." Roll that trailer.
Welcome to this year's Sigma Kappa Delta Slut Cam Game.
You built us a beautiful house.
Everybody was invited? Triple check, Captain.
Welcome to the Scare House.
That's impressive.
Did you bring my black shoes?
I don't have them.
Liar.
Are you here for the party?
Hello.
This year's challenge will require balls.
Are you getting the jitters?
You're making me nervous, and I don't want to be nervous.
No one could have planned this better than you.
The plan was already in motion. None of us wanted you to go to jail.
Is this party your idea then?
Where were you on October 30th?
Will you let us go?
What is it you always told me? Girls should always want to be there.
It's too tight!
Then no guy ever.
How'd you get out?
Good behavior.
This isn't a party, is it?
You spend so much time Frankensteining yourself that I think it's time for the good doctor and I to kill the monster.
You're gonna kill us! Ah! I'm sorry.
You can't break my spirit.
On the contrary, I impale on it.
Sluts and liars they are, but tardy they are not.
Okay. Love this film. Just want to start off with that. Directed, written by Gavin Michael Booth. It stars Sarah Booth, Kimberly Sue Murray, and Catherine Burrell. These girls, I can't say guys.
Right.
These girls actually have quite a repertoire, you know, of films behind them besides this. You know, Sarah Booth herself was in Deadfall in 2012. She's done some TV, you know, appearances. Let's see, what else do we have here? Kimberly Sue Murray was in The Colony in 2013, Mirror Mirror in 2012. And again, a lot of, you know, television stuff. I mean, in miniseries and that, I mean, great, great things going on here with this cast and this crew.
Oh, most definitely. And it's one of those movies that is everything you expect and more. And that's one of the things I think that drew me to it is that, you know, one of the things I was just kind of clicking around because I never actually looked at Gavin's Facebook page. And I don't know if you saw this, but he's got a picture of him leaning against a lamppost that says, "We'll direct for food."
Yes, I love that.
But he's also done, I mean, other besides The Scare House, he did another film in 2013 called To Hell with Love, To Hell, comma, with Love. And he's got a couple of other ones that, you know, not a lot of big stuff was made out of. Now, The Scare House, on the other hand, though, this one comes with a lot of backing. I mean, they had the Scare House Haunted Attractions backing, obviously, because they filmed it all in there. They had Viking Entertainment was, but you know, backed them on this one. And it looks to me like there's nowhere but up for them to go at this point. I mean, and I've also heard rumors. I think I had, when I had first reviewed the film, I wrote to Gavin and said that, or no, in the review, I actually said that I had ideas for the sequel, which I always say that to everybody. And usually my ideas aren't as good as theirs, but you know, I always throw them out there anyway. And I was like, yeah, I have ideas for the sequel on this one. So he immediately, as soon as he saw the review, sent a message back going, "By the way, I do have a sequel in the works. What's your idea?"
So,
and then,
oh,
go ahead.
Okay. So one thing I wanted to say about this is, you know, if you look at this film and look it up on IMDb, it has a 4.6 out of 10, which it seems pretty low by many standards. It's less than 5. I don't think it represents this film at all.
Definitely not.
No, I think it's much better than a 4.6. You know, one thing going into this film you have to remember is that this is not your traditional horror film. I guess I'm going to use in quotes from here forward the monster of the film, the killer. You know, just because I don't want to give away any information, is really, this whole thing is, it's a revenge film. It's, you know, it starts off thinking that it's you think that it's like, you know, an exploitation film, but the way that it's shot in such a way that it's very sexual and tantalizing, but not overtly. So,
right. There's no exploitation. Yeah. It's all through, you know, suggested.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And that's what I love about this. And then, of course, you have the revenge portion of it that, you know, when it comes to most horror films, you have the idea that the people that are the victims in the film are there generally out of pure dumb luck. In this film, they're there for a very specific reason.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it is there isn't a, you know, who's going to be next. It's going to be, it's more of, it kind of reminds me of Saw in a way that, you know, that whoever's going to be next is there for a very specific reason, and how they die is for a very specific way based on that reason.
Yeah, it's like every person's, you know, punishment, or every one of these other girls' punishment, was well planned.
Yes.
And well executed. No pun intended.
Except for the one girl that I'm going to give something away. If you're going to, you know, try to kill somebody and you're not Michael Myers or Jason Voorhees or completely supernatural, try not to take on like a female Jackie Chan.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That was one of the funniest parts of the whole. I mean, there was a lot of funny lines that came out that this was a very dark humored film. Oh, but yeah. That was one of the ones that you're like, you're watching it and all of a sudden this girl turns all Jackie Chan on the other ones. And you're like, wait a minute.
I know.
This isn't supposed to happen.
It was great.
Which is exactly what the characters are, you know, our lead characters are thinking, is that this isn't supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Corey and Elena is where the names of the main characters. There was a lot about the film that I thought was great is the, you know, other than the obvious stuff that you mentioned, I like to go into the fact that, you know, a little bit more into the fact that the Scare House was shot inside an existing Halloween attraction known as Scare House Windsor. The budget on this film was only 200,000 Canadian. and
depending on the year, that could be more or less American.
True. That's a good point.
You know, because, yeah, depending on the year, it could have been like 250,000 American or 175,000 American.
True. That's too much math for me.
I know.
Anyway, one of the things that I actually liked a lot about this movie is that the background information that we end up getting was not exposition.
Oh.
It was, you know, because usually that's what you get is you get the two main characters that are out on their revenge spree giving the reasons why they're doing it. Instead, what we see is a party that went really, you know, a sorority induction party, if you will, that went bad for these two girls and all the other girls involved. It's all done found footage style, you know, with the camera in the face.
And what's even better is it doesn't give it to you all in one shot. It leaks out little bits of what's going on and why they're there throughout the entire film so that by the end you have the full picture. It's, you know, so as you're watching it, you're seeing little bits with each gag, each murder going on. You're getting a little bit more in depth into what's happening, what happened to these two people, you know, what's why they're so pissed off, all of that. Mm-hmm. And then by the end, a part of you is, I don't know, do I feel bad that I cheered for them?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, again, this was a Mean Girls situation, though. So it's like you're watching it going, oh, yeah, she deserves it. Oh, yeah, she deserves it. And then you're just like, well, that's not quite what I expected, but not bad, you know, for what she gets. And so, yeah, by the end of the film, I think you really are, you know, really hoping that they're going to get away with it, especially after. And then it's partially because they're having so much fun with this whole thing.
I know,
though.
That's the other part, too, man. They are having a blast.
Even when they have that drunk guy running around, it's just like, this is going to get even more hilarious as it progresses. And then it doesn't actually get that. You don't get the really somber, you know, straight horror aspect until that twist at the end, which we are not going to talk about.
No, that's going to be the hard part when we're talking with Gavin about this. It's not giving stuff away. You know, and then I think the other part that I liked about this, you know, is that the fact that all the murders took place in a scare house, in a haunted house, you had, while all of this is going on, you had actual people walking through the attraction. And here's these real bodies, these real people, as a part of the attraction after they were murdered. And nobody knows. It's great.
That's what makes it.
Yes. And I spent about 2 days looking online to see if I can find some real verified incidences of this happening. Could not. I found a bunch of fake stories.
Well, of course.
But I could not find any like real stories. The closest one I found was, you know, a girl that went in and somehow accidentally hung herself. She was like one of the actors or something like that. And I don't know. I don't remember exactly how, but she accidentally hung herself. People walked by and thought, wow, that's a really good, you know, mannequin or whatever it was. It wasn't until someone realized, wait a minute, she's struggling and trying to breathe. And she was still alive, and they rushed her to the hospital.
Wow.
But that was an accident. That was...
Yeah. Well, it does seem like something like this could actually be pulled off. So the realism is also another thing that makes this film, you know, really interesting. I mean, the only part that didn't seem that real to me was the whole... what do they call those things again that women wear to be skinny?
Oh, the corset?
The corset, yeah. The whole corset thing, I was just kind of like, all right, is that corset made out of steel bars? But anyway.
No, but it was still a great.
But it was a great. It was a great scene. I mean, I definitely enjoyed that one, especially the lines that came out. The lines that came out for that one said no one ever.
Yeah, said no one ever, yes. Too tight. Or said no guy ever.
Yeah, said no guy ever.
So, yeah, I mean, overall, I mean, this is a great film. It's definitely fast paced. I mean, it's right from the beginning fast paced. When it first opens up, it opens up on kind of an exposition backstory from a handheld camera. And the first thing that I thought when I was watching this is, oh, Jeff's got me watching another found footage film. But I put a big, big giant booty in there. But. I think the way that was shot, the way that it was done, was perfect because it really delineated now from the past.
Yes.
Everything that was done now was steady, was produced. Everything that in the past, very intentional with the handheld camera, swoosh shots, all of that, just like anybody that has taken a camera to a party.
Yeah. It felt just like, again, getting into the realism. I mean, one of the things that I had noted and would continue to note is that it's definitely an independent film that didn't feel like an independent film at all.
No.
Especially when you went into the, I mean, which, like you said at the very beginning, you get the, you know, the found footage type aspect of it. And I'm just like, oh, I pretty much did the same thing. I'm like, oh, crap. Okay, I'll give it a chance. And then when they went into the full on, you know, cinematic aspect of it, then I was just like, whoa, this is a good movie. Yeah. And like I've done many times, you know, I mean, we get a lot of good stuff in, for one. And this was one of those that just really impressed me that I was just kind of like, this is independent.
Well, even on top of it, like the way that the storytelling was, the, you know, by leaking out the information, the backstory throughout the whole film and just giving you little bits at a time so that you actually have to put the puzzle together yourself as the movie is going on. It's almost like, you know, the whole movie was a cold open.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. And definitely set up for a sequel, which I'm sure, you know, I'll be badgering Gavin with when we talk to him next time. But the good news is for everybody else, if you haven't seen this one yet, I'm definitely going to recommend it. It's coming to us from Mimitech Entertainment, a Named Viking production. It was released in the US via NBC Universal. It's on VOD, it's on iTunes, it's on Blu-ray, it's on DVD as of January 13th.
It's on Amazon download, Amazon Instant.
There you go. It's everywhere. And it definitely deserves a much higher rating than IMDb is giving it. But then we got to keep in mind that, you know, IMDb is usually about half of what it should be.
Right.
Most of the time. Yeah. So, and then on top of that, there's a lot of good stories that follow this one. One of my favorites was when Gavin sent me the info about the fact that they had actually done like a whole scare thing on a couple of the actors. They made them actually go through the haunted house.
Did you see that video?
Yeah.
I think it was on his Facebook page, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was the two main, you know, the two main girls, the ones who played Corey and Elena.
And the guy.
And the guy. That's right.
The guy too. Yeah, and they actually went through that that scare house on their own. And it's like it's a YouTube video. It's, you know, probably about five minutes long. It's great. It was right before their rap party.
Yep, which they also did there at the scare house.
And they made them go through the whole thing. And oh man, I tell you, I'm only quite literally 2 hours from Windsor. I think I know where I'm going.
For Halloween?
For Halloween. Yeah, definitely. Except now I have to get a passport because
you have to go through Canada.
They don't let you use your driver's license anymore.
Yeah. So you wouldn't be able to get home, in other words.
Yeah.
From what I understand, you can get there. You just can't get home.
Yeah. Yeah, because it used to be you could just use your driver's license and or a birth certificate. Now you have to actually get a passport or have a driver's license with like a little emblem on it. But either way, I think that's enough about this film. Wrapping it up, definitely, I give this, you know, an easy 4 out of 5 stabs. This is a great, fast-paced film. Great acting, great directing, great storytelling, the way that everything is laid out. There are some really creepy gags that go on through this. Very inventive. You know, Gavin is one sick-minded person, and I love him for that.
And his wife.
And his wife.
Sarah, who played one of our lead characters.
I am going to just say one word, dildo. Leave it at that. Not say any more. And definitely buy, rent, stream. However you get this, you have to watch it.
Definitely. Definitely give it a watch. And again, we're going to be talking to Gavin the next time you hear us, within the next week or two, because I know we've only planned like a couple of shows this month. But on top, with that out of the way, and we will be talking to Gavin, next up is our voicemail you were talking about.
for those three questions, I kind of recommend this graph paper, because then you can put the three graph papers, the three things on there. And then the first part, you have to do any drawings, you have to find the missing point. You can write those on there. So that's the assignment for today, seven questions. Let's get, we got about 5 minutes to start to work on.
Okay. And that was, yes, left on our Creepercast voice message. So if you were the one that sent that to us, I hope you got them seven questions correct.
Yeah. Me too, because I wouldn't have.
I wouldn't have either. That had to do with graph paper. Sounded like it was above my head. I could not do that.
Especially not with two pieces of graph paper. No. Now I'm like totally blown away.
No. And you know what? I'll tell you, when this came in, I was so excited. I'm like, somebody left a SpeakPipe, message. And then I listened to it, and I'm like, awesome. We got butt dialed.
Or something like that, because how do they butt dial if they're using SpeakPipe?
No, I don't know. It's probably, looking at us during class.
They were probably looking at the website.
And you know what? If you are the one that sent this to us, thank you. This is just awesome. We got a good laugh out of it. We loved it. Okay. It may have been, unintended, but hey, this was awesome. I loved it. And, definitely graph paper, math, seven questions. I would have failed that class.
I already did. You know, I actually wanted the first person I wanted to blame or accuse or thank was going to be Spencer, but then I remembered he's homeschool.
So I thought he graduated too.
Oh yeah, Andy graduated. So unless he's in college. Spencer, did you do this?
I think it was Spencer. I do.
Anyway, yeah, definitely fantastic, and we love to hear all all this creepy stuff, even if it's about math. So definitely
math is creepy.
It's definitely creepy to me. I'm not gonna anyway, you can definitely give us a call at 503-454-6941 and leave a similar, well actually be more creative, leave something else. I mean, somebody already got the math one. Okay,
yeah now you have to do. now we need language arts or history. Yeah.
History. Yeah, Jason would be really lost if it was history.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, he's already lost just thinking about it. Anyway, yes, we definitely want to hear from you. We want to, you can leave a message right on the website while you're visiting, reading the review of the Scare House or any of the other many reviews that we have up there, including How to Kill a Zombie and the Hanover House. By the way, I just wanted to really quickly throw out there that when we were talking to Corey the other day, a good friend of Corey's who we had been talking about when we were talking to Corey, that Jenny Anastasov, I think is how you say her name, that had actually left a message on our Facebook, or maybe it was Corey's Facebook, saying
no, it
that,
was our Facebook page.
Was it? Okay. Yeah. It was something to the effect of she loves the fact that we are experts on the Hanover House.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how to take that.
Yeah, it was kind of a double-edged one, because part of you was just like, oh, she's thanking us for liking something that has not even been out for most people to see unless they live in Maine. Or is she telling us we have no life because we know way too much about the Hanover House?
Or is she telling us we're completely off base?
That's the other thing. Thanks for throwing that one in there.
Oh, now I made Jeff depressed. If you go into your cabinet, medicine cabinet, I left some pills in there for you this moment.
I'm sure you did. And there's a haunted house somewhere that's waiting just for you.
As long as there's no clowns, I'm fine.
Speaking of clowns, I just want to throw this in there because I know this is going to keep Jason away from the website. Is that for the next, let's see. I know right now we're about wrapping up what I call the top five Irish horror. Next time around, I'm doing this top five. Basically, it's in no specific order, but every week I'm going to throw a movie out there for you guys to check out. Some of them are going to be repeats, linked to articles that already exist. But over the next 5 weeks, 6 weeks, I've decided to dedicate to evil clowns.
You because are evil.
Because of the It remake is the main reason why I went for it, but I also knew that, Jason would have bad things to say about it. Anyway.
You know how you've been trying to talk me into redesigning the website? You just completely put that on hold for quite a while now.
Oh. Well, not if you do it now, because Well, no, the clowns would have started about, it starts about now. But anyway, it's all stuff that you've actually seen, though, so.
Well, okay. At least I'm okay with that. All right, what do you say we start the music?
Let's do the music thing.
All right, just repeating everything that we said. Don't forget to get The Scare House on demand, on VOD, on Blu-ray, on iTunes, on Amazon, you name it, you can find it. Great, great movie to watch. Also, don't forget to check us out. We're going to have some podcasts coming up with Bill McLean and also Gavin Booth. Some interviews there so that you can get a little backstories on what's going on there. Get a hold of us by giving us a call at 503-454-6941 and leave us a email at feedback@creepercast.com. All right. See you next week, Jeff.
We'll see you next week. And don't forget creepercast.com for everything.